Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and I look at the producer over here, his eyebrow went up. It means something here. And so glad to have you, Christian Television Network, on the VFN radio audience around the nation, around the world. We're so glad to be on the television network.
Yes, we are.
And I was just had a meeting last night about fiber optics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to tell you about that.
All right.
And the producer of this program, believe it or not, all the way straight from Second Street, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And also joining me on the program today, fresh out of our wonderful friend sponsors out of Fort Walton, he that walks on a cloud and the water parts before him.
I mean, that's right.
When his mama put him in the bathtub, the water just split. You know what I'm saying? He said, let my people. Anyway, so John Ramos.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Yeah, we're just trying.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I know you are. You try.
Speaking of jumping jacks. I didn't get a chance to talk about this the other day.
Really?
We are going to talk about it. I had a chance to meet a lot of different candidates that were running for office, and it was pretty nice put together by the Florida Family Association, John Stemberger, and Focus on the Family. And I'm just very thankful for everybody who wants to stand up and say, you know, I want to take a chance at leading, you know, and I'm very impressed with anybody that stands up. I have a chance to be able to spend some time with speaking about the area of Pensacola and Escambia County down on the Gulf Coast with Commissioner Wilson Robinson.
Ooh.
and his lovely wife and a longtime friend. It's just so good to see people still wanting to lead.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're like, I don't want to lead this thing.
Uh-uh.
So it's a big job, isn't it?
It's a big job.
And so we're going to be talking about, you know, this journey. But first I want to say, I just want to encourage you that sometimes we can lie to ourselves. I don't know if you know this or not, but you know, it's amazing when you look at folks who look at you and they look, the whole world's ending on their face. You know what I'm saying? Their face is sad. I mean, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they could eat oats from a tailpipe in a car. I mean, their face is so long. I mean, seriously. I mean, you might have teenagers. No, that's not teenagers. I don't have any teenagers, but I had some. And so, and I was one. And so you just think, my goodness. But then you take a mirror and you put it in front of their faces, and it's this amazing transformation takes place, and they smile at themselves. Mm. I mean, they really give themselves. They have no idea what we see the entire life.
That's exactly right.
But for the moments they pass the mirror, you know, It just Pat smiles. No, I'm just, the people just smile. You're thinking like, whoa, you don't even know you do that. You think about it. You don't even know.
We didn't even know they had teeth.
Right. And I have a total, if you go in my office, you see, I will not put a picture up unless it's smiling. And it can't be a fake smile. It's got to be a real smile. So I have two more grandkids to go up. You know, I just want to see, why not smile? You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're Christian. You know, we should be, I mean, I'm bringing you good news. Here's some oats out of my tailpipe. And so you think about it. I mean, that's got to be a lie that we're telling ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before I talk about anything today, I mean, we got to talk about this. Because, you know, we are supposed to represent God, the Son of God, the salvation of God, the hope of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, the joy of God, the Lord that defeated every battle for us, and that death has lost its sting in our life. So we're not crying over the fact that, oh, what happened to Susan because, you know, she's passed now. We're just crying at the loss of our time with her, but we're going to see her again.
That's right.
If we're just hoping for this lifetime, we should be pitied more than anybody else. And so it's just like that, you know. It's like when people are confronted with themselves, they really are kind to themselves. They pack themselves in peanuts, I like to say. You know, you're packing us in a box and shipping us with no padding at all.
Nope.
But when it comes to you, you're packing yourself in peanuts. You know how it comes in? It's like, how did this piece of China survive? And it's got like these peanuts everywhere. Did you see The Bolt, the cartoon, The Bolt? Hilarious.
About the dog?
Yeah, I watched it with my grandson. Yeah, yeah. And because he thought he was a superhero, the dog did.
Oh, he was convinced.
And he was, everything was brand spanking new. And he tried to do something strong, and he couldn't. But he had one of those packing peanuts next to him, and it was stuck on his fur, got static electricity. And he was totally convinced that his strength loss was because of a peanut. You know, and he's like, no, like kryptonite to Superman. No, get that packing peanut from me. I'll be weakened from my strength. And it's like, you know, we've got to act like we're in the mirror all the time. You know what I'm saying? We have to. We have to do this because people are seeing us every day. And if it takes, you know, us to actually have a mirror hanging in front of us.
Hey.
I mean, we've got to practice the presence and joy and pleasure of God. We can't just give ourselves a smile. I mean, think about it. It takes more muscles, and you may have heard this, you may not have heard this. It takes a lot more muscles to frown than it does to smile. And then the person who's giving you this long face, they're pretty putting a lot of effort into that. They're putting a lot of, there's something coming out of their heart that's shutting down their brain, that's forcing down their cheeks and their mouth and that grit in the teeth. And you ask them, what's wrong? It's like, nothing. It's like, anyway, so.
Let your face know that nothing is wrong. Just let your face know.
It was so embarrassing, you know, when we're talking about, you know, yes, Christians get together and let's and they put cameras on us. And you're like, turn the camera off. This is going to do more damage to the kingdom of God than anything good. Because it's like, who are you? Don't you know Jesus? I mean, isn't he, you say he dwells with you?
No, I'm saved.
From what? And mirrors? And so this is important. And I'm getting back to jumping jacks in a minute.
Oh.
And so if you're really wondering, you know, if you're lying to yourself, ask somebody. Or just look at yourself in the mirror and step away. I'll never forget this donut commercial. Or I think it was a donut commercial. We had a weight loss commercial. Maybe that's what it is. And this lady comes in her house, and there's this big mirror in her foyer. So when you come right into the front door of the house, she has to confront this mirror. Well, as soon as she came in, she put her back against the wall. She edged her way like that was Al-Qaeda. That mirror was Al-Qaeda. She hit the ground, rolled on the ground in front of the mirror and jumped back up and kept on going and went and got some donuts or something. She wasn't willing to confront her reality, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, we have a huge narrative being confronted right now as Christians in the world and Christians in America and Christians in your community. Why is serving Jesus so good? Why do you look so sad? And why are you so critical of me? And why do you define one sin over another? And is that the only sin that separates you from God? How about your sin? Are you saved by grace or are you saved by your works? I mean, what is the thing going on? And why is stealing my money less than stealing tax? I mean, it's all the same. You know, it's all sin. Mm-hmm. And this is what the Word of God says. It says, if you committed one, you committed them all. And I always talk about the okra principle. Mm-hmm. And okra, that slimy oysters. That really does. The oyster principle, which I'm not going to eat anymore because the guy's skin fell off last week, and I'm just not going to mess with it. Pray for him.
Really?
A flesh-eating bacteria
came
either off the hot sauce or the oyster.
Had to be the oyster.
It'd be the oyster.
Hot sauce kills everything.
And so, you know, we're going to be confronted, and the first confrontation we're going to have is to ask ourselves, am I religious or am I saved? Have I left my first love? Am I trying to fight so hard to live in this life that I'm not even understanding I'm going to pay for this in eternal life that I'm not going to have? I'm trying to push my political agenda and trying to get my way of doing things because I'm right type stuff. And while, you know, in America, for example, we're 5% of the world's population. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, you got to think about it. If you're in America, we really believe it's all about us. Mm-hmm. We're really surprised. Look at those poor folks over there. It's like, they're not poor. It's Kuwait. They're the ones selling us our oil, sending all of our money over there. They just don't even think in the context of that. It is Sandy, though. And so you know, you think about that are we avoiding the mirrors? And when somebody puts a mirror in our face, are we only giving ourselves a good time? Are we only lying to ourselves and saying that, you know, I'm having a great time? And it's like, but as soon as that mirror is gone, as soon as that camera is gone, as soon as that gathering is gone, as soon as that 1 hour or 45 minute church gathering is over You know, as soon as you finish singing that song, you know, as soon as you finish preaching that message, they don't even know if you're saved or not. I mean, you're just the saddest person around. Jesus said, in this life, we're going to have troubles. He says, but listen, cheer up. I've overcome this life. So if we're sad and depressed, I mean, there could be something physically attacking us. I'm not talking about physical struggles and that type of thing, but I'm talking about just and choosing to be. It's because we're looking too much at this life. We're not focusing on the life to come. If this life here is for an opportunity for us to live out a gratitude towards our Savior, to go into all the world and tell them the good news that God loves them so much that he gave his son for them, that he even laid down his life for us and them, and that if they choose to, he will forgive them as he's forgiven me. He'll forgive us of all that stuff and that sin and that darkness. And I mean, he forgave Pat. And John didn't need anything forgiven that I know of, but you can write. Think about this. It's like the best thing we can do is not get a political agenda, not get a value-based agenda, not try to change the school system, not tell the president or Congress or senators or governors they're wrong. We can confront ourselves and say, you know what? I got to begin to believe this gospel. I got to get happy again. What happened? I left my first love. Why am I so downcast is what God says to Cain. He said, why are you so downcast? Then he says, sin's crouching at the door, Church of America, waiting to devour you. Why not do what's right? I mean, think about it. That's what it's right now. We got something we're gonna see today. It's a whole list of we're in trouble, and this is fresh.
Wow.
We're in trouble. Whole list of we're in trouble. But, you know, we're not, you know, Paul was in jail when he wrote the Bible. Okay. Right. So it's not about us. You know, the Roman Empire was persecuting folks. And James, the brother of John, was pierced by a sword. Peter was locked up in prison, eventually crucified. It's not about horizontal experiences for our personal gain. We've gained already. We've won already.
Mm-hmm.
We've won. It's for, like, think about it. And life moves. I mean, I've never seen years move so fast.
I know.
I mean, they're slowing down for Pat because he's fit now. But they was moving faster early on when he was eating chicken like me and John. And you think about it that it's like this is all you're going to have to show them. You can't point at folks and point at your husband or your wife or your dad or your mom or your sister or your brother, your pastor, your governmental leader, whatever, and say, oh, God. He's going to say, what did you do with this Jesus? Mm. What did you do with my son?
Yep.
God, the creator, understand this. The God that created everything that you know and that you see, that created you in his image and his likeness, that told you that he would save you and forgive you, and you came to the altar and you said yes, and he forgave you, and he brought you in as a son, and brought you in as a daughter, brought you in as an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You spent your entire 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years walking around like you could eat oats from a tailpipe. It's time for us to become believers again. I mean, Stephen was being stoned and preaching a message. And no, Colorado, I'm not talking about being stoned by marijuana. He was literally being stoned. I mean, dude, we can't even get the air conditioner right, and we start freaking out. We can't even bear fruit. We can't be happy, right?
It's all I hear. Yeah.
That's what I hear. I mean, think about it.
Who do you hear from?
And he's being stoned, and he's preaching. The message is so good that the religious folks are plugging the ears and say, no, I'm not going to let go of my kingdoms. I'm not going to let Jesus pass by the street in front of my building. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it is. And they started stoning him. They started stoning him. And he's got a smile on his face. He's looking up to heaven. Heaven parts. And he sees the face of God and Jesus standing while he's being stoned. America, we are definitely stoned with comfort and convenience. We are drugged with comfort and convenience. And we're trying to drug ourselves to get over it versus saying, you know, we got to get out and get busy. And the best thing that we could do. And we're going to go to a break and come back in a minute. But I just want to tell you, is the things that we're sharing with you, this is moments. He says, during times of difficulty and struggle and calamity, he said, this is a witness. Your calmness and your joy and your peace in the midst of all this tragedy that's happening, and it's cranking up a notch, is the fact that you're going to be saved and that by God, and they're going to be destroyed if they don't have God. It's time for us not to bite our fingernails. It's time to raise our hands and say, God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. Look at my face. I mean, think about it. Look at the joy. I mean, look at my life. It's all God. There's a song out that says, this one particular lady, I forget the group, maybe Mercy, Mercy, or whatever it is. But they're saying, people look at my life. They say, I did this, I did that. They say, they don't know. I've done it on my knees. I'm just crying out to God, and God's the one to sustain me. God's the one that's giving me this. God's giving me that. And that's what he really does. He gives you jobs. He sustains your marriage. He heals your kids. He turns your family back to him. He just sustains your country. I mean, he's a good God.
Yeah.
But just like Cain, sin is crouching at the door of America. I mean, the Satan is crouching at the door of America. And God's just saying this, because he could wipe America off if he wanted to. He's not going to. He's just saying this. Cain, America, why don't you do what's right? Why don't you do what's right? Now, Cain, he chose to hate his brother. But all he had to do was to ask for forgiveness and begin to love his brother. It's time for us to do what God told us through his son. Love each other. By this, all men will know that you are mine.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
During Operation Pillar of Defense in 2012, the IDF crippled Hamas terror infrastructure in the Gaza Strip in response to rocket fire against civilians. Since the operation, Hamas has upgraded its weapons arsenal. The terrorist organization now holds about 10,000 rockets and missiles. Hamas produces most of these weapons inside Gaza, but many of them come from Iran. The Qassam rocket, armed with a 9-kilogram warhead, can strike up to 17.7 kilometers from its target. The upgraded Grad rocket carries a 45-kilogram warhead and can strike targets 48 kilometers away from Gaza. It endangers over a million Israelis. The M75, with a 60-kilogram warhead, it has a strike range of 75 kilometers. Like the Fajr 5, another Hamas rocket, is one of the most dangerous rockets in the Hamas arsenal and threatens about 3.5 million Israelis. Hamas rockets endanger about 40% of Israeli civilians.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Is it mandatory for students to take a class that goes against their religious beliefs? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I wanted to know if it's mandatory in the middle schools that the children have to take sex education classes, because they're saying it's mandatory and we try to teach our kids different because, you know, we want them to know abstinence before marriage.
Well, a lot of state curriculums, Amanda, have a requirement of in their particular health curriculum to talk about sexual activity or to talk about what they call health, but you have a right to exempt your child out of that. And what you need to do is contact first the school teacher, tell her you've got a religious objection to the content of that particular portion of the curriculum and you'd like an alternative given. And generally, they're very responsive. They will allow you to exempt or opt out of a particular curriculum aspect that you object to.
If you have questions regarding law and religious liberties, visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You confidently, the patriarch David, he died and he was buried. He was talking about Jesus. He was prophesying about this Jesus whom you crucified. And he goes on, he says, listen, he's sitting at the right hand of Father, that the Father, David prophesied. That's where he is right now. In verse 36, he says, therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. I mean, think about it. That means what? He's over everything, including you. He's over you. He's over the governments. He's over all the governments on the face of the earth. All authority is established by God. All of it's established by God. Romans chapter 13, 1 through 5, it's him. They're his servants. He says, when the people heard this, their hearts, when the people heard this, he says, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles that were standing with them, what shall we do? This is so important because when you hear the gospel being preached today, the truth is what they're saying is, who can't be saved? Come on to the concert, let's do it, right? We got a big pool, come on in. But when Jesus preached, the disciples who walked with him said, who can be saved?
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more, join the dream at vfndreamcenter.org. That's vfndreamcenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I am going to be getting to Jumpin' Jacks, hopefully, in this hour, but I do want to talk quickly about, I had a chance to meet some of the candidates in America that are running for office and, you know, judges and everything good?
No.
Judges. And understanding, he's cutting my air off. Okay, right.
Yes. Can't have that right now.
So we got a limited amount of time. I got to tell you this. Get out and meet the folks that are running, want to lead your judiciary, that wants to lead your schools, that wants to lead your water and garbage is led by people from your community. Get out and your sheriff and police department, and your city councils, and your mayors, and the county commissioners, and governors, and state, and Congress, and state senate. And you got to go out. Believe me, there's like four or five folks out meeting these people who are going to determine who's going to be the next leader. I know. I mean, think about this. Who wants to go out at 6 o'clock at night after you worked all day long? You're so tired. You're going to sit on some very hard chair. It was hard. Oh, it was hard. But then you're going to listen. You're going to let people speak freely, and they're asking for a chance to lead in your communities or your state or your country. And you need to do that. And then what I liked about the Florida Family Association, you know, it's part of Focus on the Family, mm-hmm. and this is a nonpartisan value-based thing, that you just write down questions on cards. And then you pass them up. Of course, they gave me a different color marker than anybody else. They knew that was my card.
How could you tell?
I'm messing with you. I had asked for a pen. One of the candidates gave me. And I tell you, I will get your pen back to you.
Oh, it's a pen?
She's running for judge. And I took her pen. I am so sorry. John needed it. John needed it. Besides, I don't normally write with blue ink. I'm like, really? Do I write with blue ink? I don't write with blue ink.
How could you tell?
Anyway, so so I was just so proud of these ladies and these men, you know, fellow citizens who just said, you know, I'll step up.
Yeah.
And one of them read the entire budget for that county.
Wow.
300-page budget. Right. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. That was exciting.
And one of the present day commissioners is there and goes, I'm so glad someone did.
Wow.
It's 300 pages. Think about it. That's why you have a county administrator that comes back and reads. Anyway, so you ask questions. Of course, they talk about themselves and, you know, why they want to be a judge or a commissioner or a sheriff maybe or a city council. And they just had not all that was there, but just some of that. And so you're listening. You need to do that. You need to just listen. When you're circling a name on a ballot, you need to know who you're voting for. And you need to know what values they have. And nobody needs to tell you how to vote. You have, as a citizen of America, you have a right to vote. That's your right. Now, how you exercise that is totally up to you. But if you don't educate yourself and you make a last-minute phone call to Bobby Joe, who you know, happened to get an early ballot or something, you're voting. You're voting like Bob instead of you. And so then we got to ask questions. And this is my question. And I did ask this question, by the way, to Governor Rick Scott. when he was running. He was running for governor, didn't have a lot of chance. We were praying about, you know, what's the values of all these candidates?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote down this question, or somebody wrote down this question. I don't know who it was. And I found out you can't just say, are you a Christian? Because everybody, I mean, everybody in America, right, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's
yeah.
just like, everybody's a Christian in America, right?
At least in the South.
Or I once was a Christian, or, yeah, I do go to church. I mean, anyway, let's move on. And so I just asked this simple question. Who on the card? I said, who is Jesus to you? Not telling anybody, any candidates, that they have to follow Jesus. They have to know who he is. That they have to acknowledge him for who I acknowledge him. I just want to, it tells me a lot about you as a candidate, that your value system, it's just in regards to me, not anybody else. And so I'd ask this question, who is Jesus to you? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful, powerful question. First of all, you got to ask yourself, who is Jesus to you yourself?
Right.
Because you'd be surprised what you may answer is you may give yourself or you might not have it. And when you find out you might not know, you need to get, you know, if you want to be saved, you give your life to him. And so to hear their answers, it was very interesting to hear the answers because it just told so much about them. And one particular candidate was so refreshing because she was so honest. I mean, she talks about a real confused childhood, religious childhood. She talked about, you know, parents were at different religions mm-hmm. or whatever and all that kind of stuff. But everything good. And she was just honest.
Mm-hmm.
Does she believe the same way I believe? No. But you know how refreshing it was?
Yeah.
For truth. Somebody to stand up and just tell the truth?
Yeah.
Because you know where she's coming from. Authentic.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But the interesting thing was people struggle. That and if people don't know who Jesus is that really their fault if they don't know? Or is it our fault as the church that we have not yet told them about Jesus and who he is? We're supposed to go into all the world and tell folks who Jesus is and what he does and what he did. So many people are upset with people because they don't know who Jesus is. But 95% of Christians in America, according to George Barna, I believe the stat is, will not win one person to the Lord their entire lifetime. So how are they going to know? I mean, so few missionaries and Christians are going out telling people Jesus is going to have, he is having to show up in dreams for Muslims to get them saved.
Yeah.
Because nobody will go. That's what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. Muslims are getting saved rapidly. But who will go? Who will I send? And so it's like, who is Jesus to you? It tells a lot. And you watch folks like, and the biggest thing that I heard was, and man, I hear this all over the place. He was good. He was a good teacher. You know, he was a man of the people. He cared about the people. He was one of the people. He's inside every human being. You know, and
he's a carpenter.
Well, I didn't hear carpenter, but I didn't hear that. But I've had heard that before. And it's like, oh my goodness, we have to do better to understand, you know, who he is. Not mm-hmm. telling people how you have to be related to him, but he is who he is.
That's right.
You know, and you can accept for who he is, or you can deny who your relationship with him, but it doesn't change who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm fixing to go to break. And so I did ask this question to a candidate. I guess it was a candidate. We went down to meet the candidates and find out what values they had or whatever at a hangar. I was going to this huge crowd.
Oh, wow.
You know, when the governors were running, you know, I guess a couple terms ago.
Candidates.
I don't know how long ago. And it was Rick Scott. He wasn't a governor at that point. And it was like 20 of us. So I'm like, okay, I got some time here. A big old jet flew in. And like, you're here for me. I'm going to ask you some questions. And I looked at him and I'm talking to, it was Rick Scott then. Now it's Governor Scott. I said, who is Jesus to you? Church, that's our biggest concern. You know, it doesn't matter what they say. Just as long as they're honest. And now we can understand why they're leading the way they are, or why they're not leading. We're having wrong expectations of mm-hmm. folks. And from a Christian perspective. So mm-hmm. I said, who is Jesus to you? And he said, he's my Savior. Mm. He's the Lord. I gave my life to him. And I know Commissioner Robinson was there last night, and he said, you know, are talking. It's like, he goes, he leans up and goes, he's my savior is the answer. You know, and it's like, but you know, the thing about it is that we need to let people know about him, because mm-hmm. Jesus wants to, listen, I don't care if you are a political leader. I don't care if you're a business leader. I don't care if you're the leader of your home. God loves you. And I want you to know right now, even if you're in the middle of a political term and you started the left way and you want to go to the right way, and I'm talking about conservative, liberal, you say, I want to find Jesus right now. I want to know him right this moment. You can say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. This is who Jesus is. God so loved the world, the creator of the universe, God, loved the world so much. He loves you so much that he gave his son. And he is the father of the son, Jesus. Mary, a virgin, young virgin Mary, is the mother of Jesus. His spirit hovered over her, and she conceived a son, all God, all man. And so that God could walk as we walk. This is who he is. So God got to feel the infirmities. He got to feel the temptations. He got to feel this junk we deal with in this life, and the temptations. And he could, it's not that God didn't know the answer already. He just didn't feel the question yet, because mm-hmm. sin was not a part of him. But now that he's walking, Jesus was tempted in every way, just like we are. The difference is, Jesus, the Son of God, he didn't sin. He did it sinlessly. And so here he is, perfect, the perfect Son of God. And he loved God so much, and God loved you so much, that he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take my son, and I'm going to offer him as a sacrifice. Why? Because sin requires, the forgiveness of sin requires the shedding of blood. That's it. When there's blood, when there's sin sacrifice, when blood is covered, that sin, it's covered. But understand this, perfect blood can not only just cover sin, Jesus' blood takes away the sin, and it's no more. That's why it's good news. And so here he is. He said, here I am. He let his son be crucified. He allowed that to take place on Golgotha, as Levi says, the place of the skull, the mm-hmm. church of the skull, and all that. And understand this. He intentionally did it. He said, here. And he offered up. And Jesus willingly did it because he loves the Father and he loves you. And he was nailed to that cross for your sin, for all that stuff, all those wrongs, all those things that you think God can't forgive, and all my wrongs. And he died on the cross. Perfect, sinless man, Son of God, lived a perfect life, but gave his life for you. And God gave him for you. They took his body off the cross. It's like, oh my goodness, they just killed God's son. What do you do with this? What do you? Mm-hmm. And they put him and they buried him. They buried him in a tomb, actually, rolled a stone over it. So everybody's going, it's over. It must be over. His followers, like, it must be over. But all of a sudden, on the third day, just like was prophesied about, which means what was talked about thousands of years before, it happened. It came to pass that God raised his son from the dead. I was just listening to an atheist who wrote a book about all these religions. And he said, the real difficult thing we have is Christianity. We're trying to explain it, but there's this, the risen savior just really kind of throws things off when you're trying to, like, dude, it's because it's real. And he's like, he's raised from the dead. And so when he was raised from the dead, understand this, that means he's going to be, he is the first one raised from the dead, which means this, that when we die, because if we make him the Lord of our life, acknowledge him as a son of God and say, forgive me, I want to be a follower of yours. I want to be a son of God like you are, up under your blood. He not only forgives us, but when we die, we too will be raised from the dead. Think about that. And to live with him forever. Jesus now is sitting at the right hand of God, waiting and hoping that you, no, I don't care if you're a governor, I don't care if you're the president, I don't care if you're a congressman, I don't care if you're a senator, and I don't care if you're a pastor, waiting for you to say, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I understand you are the Son of God. You gave your son because you loved me, and he lived a sinless life, what I couldn't do, and then he gave his life, sacrifice. You sacrificed your son to pay the price for my sin. And then you raised him from the dead. I do understand who he is. He's God in the flesh. He's God's love towards us. He's the Son of God. And today, he can be your Savior. Say, you know what, God, I get it now. They tried to convince me he was just a good teacher. But he's the Son of God. And just cry out, say, Lord, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I understand. I want to accept you. Forgive me for my sins. I want to be in the family of God. Find out more how we met, Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, at meetmyfather.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you.
Mm-hmm.
But he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel. And we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about, you know, a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment Barbecue.
The taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I was sitting there having her food. I can tell you. This man came in. He's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite? Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good.
They was good.
That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, make sure you catch us also in our next program. We're going to be talking about this whole list of things right now. Just a moment about where we're at. Where is America at right now? And it's not good in the context of where we're at.
Yeah.
But understand, that's kind of the way it was before President Reagan came out of nowhere. And one of the prophetic words is God's raising up a David.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're going to go from a season of Maybe this is just welcome back, Carter. No,
tumultuous.
Carter, we're going from Carter to that season of gas lines and all that coming into a time of prosperity when Reagan came. I don't know, but they said God's raising up a David, so whoever that is. So make sure you catch us in this next program. We're going to continue talking about Billy Graham, how the Billy Graham Library honored the military. And it's just nobody does it like Franklin, Billy, and the Billy Graham Association. Yeah. You've got to check them out at bgea.org. Well, you can go to vfntv.com, click on links, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. So I want you to see this. This is just this is kind of where we're at, and I want to talk about it, kind of get a light perspective. But this is Bill O'Reilly from Fox News, the O'Reilly Factor, or something like that. It's really tough for me to listen to him sometimes, but this what he's about to say is just right in line with how it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to talk about what do we do with that as Christians? How do we respond to that as Americans? Listen to this. Watch it.
The threats to America grow. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. In a provocation the White House has not seen since the Vietnam War, the Russian dictator Putin is trying to humiliate Barack Obama. Apparently, the Russians have now violated the 1987 missile treaty by testing a new type of cruise missile. Also, Putin continues to attack Ukraine as military units inside Russia are firing rockets into that besieged country. Want more? Russian allies continue to block the investigation of the downed Malaysian airliner shot out of the sky 2 weeks ago by Russian-made missiles. 298 human beings died, Putin directly responsible. But instead of pulling back, Putin continues to spit in our eye. He now says he'll restore relations with Castro's Cuba. Provocation off the chart. So today, President Obama imposed new sanctions on Russia.
Today, and building on the measures we announced 2 weeks ago, the United States is imposing new sanctions in key sectors of the Russian economy. Energy, arms, and finance. We're blocking the exports of specific goods and technologies to the Russian energy sector. We're expanding our sanctions to more Russian banks and defense companies. And we're formally suspending credit that encourages exports to Russia and financing for economic development projects in Russia.
The Cold War here again. Mr. Obama also saying Europe will impose more sanctions. But don't hold your breath on that. France continues to say it will send 2 warships to Russia in return for a boatload of cash, pardon the pun. The Europeans have acted cowardly in the face of Putin's aggression. Now, I have no beef with what the president did today other than to suggest that it should have been done months ago. And he should encourage American banks to stop taking credit card receipts from Russia. That would scorch the villain Putin, who so far has laughed at the sanctions. President Obama had to take the action today because all around him, things are going south in a hurry. In Israel, the fighting between Hamas and the Israelis continues. Hundreds are dead, and the USA is powerless to stop the carnage. There is no question Hamas is a terror group in business to wipe out Israel. The Palestinians are being held captive by Hamas. And once again, America can't do anything about it. In Iran, negotiations over nuclear weapons continue because the Obama administration has given that country nearly $3 billion to stay at the table. It bribed them. It's hard to believe that any meaningful deal will be reached about the nukes, although it's not impossible. In Iraq, intel reports say the ISIS army, a vicious offshoot of Al-Qaeda, is poised to attack Baghdad. These jihadists are murdering Christians in the streets and terrorizing much of that nation. President Obama has taken no action, none at all, against the ISIS army, even though they have been in business and building power for years. In Afghanistan, an inspector general's report says the Obama administration cannot account for 750,000 weapons given to Afghan forces. America simply does not know where those weapons are. And reports say the Taliban is making military gains throughout Afghanistan using some U.S. weaponry. In Libya, the USA has now closed its embassy in Tripoli and evacuated because security is so terrible there, as the jihadists continue to terrorize that country. In Colorado, Defense Intelligence Agency Director Lieutenant General Michael Flynn says the terrorist ideology behind Al-Qaeda is growing fast.
We use the term core al-Qaeda, and I have been going against these guys for a long time. The core is the core belief that these individuals
have. And that's
have.
Not on the run.
It's not on the run. And that ideology is actually, it feels like it's exponentially growing.
And if that isn't frightening, nothing is. Finally, on the southern border, the chaos continues as U.S. authorities cannot stop the flow of illegal aliens into this country. President Obama says he'll take action after his summer vacation unilaterally without congressional approval. Right now, we don't know what that action might be. And so you can see that on just about every front, there is danger to we the people. Terrorism is growing. There's a mini war in the Middle East. Iran will most likely get a nuclear weapon, and Putin is causing an enormous amount of trouble, pretty much unchecked. President Obama still has his supporters who spin the situation his way. But the facts prove Mr. Obama's foreign policy has failed dismally. There is no question that the jihadists want to attack America again and are growing in strength, so do the math. It is long past time for all Americans, liberals and conservatives, Republicans, independents and Democrats, to demand that the federal government admit failure and devise effective strategies to protect us and other innocent people around the world. When a villain like Putin, whose economy is on the brink of a recession, can humiliate the United States of America, something is terribly wrong. Talking Points is sounding the alarm, and all of us should take this very seriously.
This is so important, because what is the biblical perspective? We're fixing to go to a break, but what is the biblical perspective of this? Because that is a big list. That's big trouble and very frightening, as he says. But we're going to look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 when we get back. And we're also going to continue this conversation in our next program. So make sure you catch us after this break. But realize we're going to continue. This is going to take, this is going to biblical perspective of this, because he's absolutely right, plus some. Mm-hmm. More when we come back from the break, we'll talk about it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch lately, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there. The orange.
BRSM.
BRSM, Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do. So what's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has... put this article out there in Charisma Magazine, and it's the anointing, it transferred.
It never happened until it happened.
Thank you for that contribution.
Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share.
We're just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we? Can, it's like
Till.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student. Yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context. It was Hagar. Of that. Remember? It was Hagar. I know. Didn't she come from the anyway? So, anyway. Go
ahead. Okay. So back to all-time favorite quotes. I can't even say it.
Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not so. Say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes.
Croaks.
Quotes.
It's not, well, croakers.
quotes.
Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right, okay, we're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just yeah.
It's
the
just
croaks?
You. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Very serious quote.
Let's
very
get serious,
quote. Serious yeah.
mode.
I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right yeah. now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay.
So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back.
Yes? You look shocked.
I am shocked.
Hello?
We have a limited amount of time. Think about this whole list of what is taking place right now. And sometimes you may just want to say, I want to bury my, you know, head in entertainment, or
right.
I think I'm going to go check out my Facebook. We have a lot to talk about that in the future. But we really appreciate all of our.
just look at our posts.
And so, wow, I mean, you know, Bill O'Reilly, you know, he, the thing about this guy is he is. You know, he forces both sides of the issue. He doesn't let anybody get away with just being one-sided.
Yeah.
And he kind of dominates the conversation. But in that what do we do with that as Christians? And it makes me think of what Jesus said. You know, Jesus, when you think about all these videos and cameras and satellites are focused on Israel. But I want to tell you about a part of Israel right there by Jerusalem. You go through the valley. And up there on the particular hills called the Mount of Olives, it's outside the eastern gate of that city. And in Matthew 24, he writes about it, but it's verse 3. You know, Jesus is sitting back and we're talking to his disciples, and he's, you know, having a private moment with them. And they say, you know, can you tell us, what's it going to be like when you come back? You know, there's going to be some signs that, you know, what kind of signs are going to happen? And we're just going to begin in this. We only have a little moment to begin, so make sure you catch our next program so you can actually hear all this. And so I'm not going to talk about what Jesus said. You know, what is it going to be like? What are the signs? What's going to be happening in the world? What's it going to be like for us when you're going to come back?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a good thing to know.
Yeah.
And Jesus answered them, and I'm going to cover just a piece of the answer, but in our next program, I'm going to talk in detail about that. This is what he said. He said, first of all, he said, watch out. He said, watch out that no one deceives you before he starts dealing with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And deception is what you think you're doing is right when you're wrong. And when you stand before the throne of God deceived, you just know such thing as deceptive access to eternity in heaven. I mean, you have to actually know you can't. Deception is not an excuse for a life lived against God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a sad thing. But God removes those blinders. We make Jesus the Lord of our life. When we get in the Word of God, he removes those blinders from our eyes. And he said, watch out that you're not deceived. He said, for many will be coming. Al-Qaeda and Buddha and Hindu.
The list goes on and on.
It's not nonstop. Mm-hmm. And saying that they claim that they are the Messiah, that they are me, really. That they've come to save you. And he says, and they'll deceive many people. And what you're seeing right now, you're seeing a whole bunch of people in the world who are fighting religious wars, who believe they're fighting for their Messiah. That's what's going on. That's why you have secularists and people who maybe say they're a Christian, but really they're just agnostic. You can tell by their policies and procedures. They're going, these religious folks are causing problems. Let's just turn them in on each other and let's live our life outside of religion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's all go to hell. Right? So he's saying,
right?
Because
right.
if you don't make Jesus, you don't find the real Messiah here. You know, it's very important. That's why we're talking about this. Make sure you catch us in the next hour because time's clicking. So he says, you know, many, so what you see is you actually have, you know, several different factions, but you look at Islam, they believe that Muhammad is their prophet, and all of a sudden their Messiah is going to come. Maybe like the 12th Iman's going to come out of the hole in the ground in Mecca that they walk around. That's a hole, that black tent's over a hole that they're walking around. And visually, it's like, wow.
Hmm.
But when you really think about it, it's like, oh. And so, and then it's, But then you go back to Matthew chapter 22 and you go, oh.
Yeah.
And you go down to India and they have a million gods. And they think that this, I don't know what the name of it is, but this elephant god. I mean, they go worship at this elephant, and they believe that this elephant's going to save them. The ant's going to save them. They believe the ant is an ant, some of the religions down there. And I'm not talking about the Christians there, but there's all different religions down there. But they really believe, that's what they believe. And so you have to be careful. You can't just jump in some religious bandwagon. He's saying, you got to understand, this is the sign. He said, what is the sign of your coming? Mm. So when you're looking at what's going right now, and time is running out, so you've got to catch us on our next program. But understand, when you look at what's going on right now, this should get you really excited, because these are we're getting close to the return of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to be talking about it. He says nation will rise against nation. I mean, think about it. Look what's happening today. You know, there's some Christians that are going, no, we need to have peace. We got to have peace. No, they'll say peace, peace, and then sudden destruction.
That's right.
That as long as you're not going to walk with God, you're not going to make the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life, you're not going to acknowledge Yeshua, Messiah, it's not going to be good. And so he said, watch out that you're not deceived. So by listening to the next program, make sure you catch us, watch us. Catch us at on CTN, WHBR, 24/7 on the radio. Go to VFNTV.com. You got to get this, because you're going to have a great peace and understand these things must come to pass, that these are nothing but birthing pains. And if you've ever gone or watched, because we're all men, we just watched, you know, our wives go through birthing pain. Mm-hmm. Sorry, baby. It wasn't pretty. I mean, it was tough. And I'm watching my daughter right now. She's you know, edging up there. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
But it produces something so beautiful. And right now, the earth is going through birthing pains. And I believe something awesome is about to be birthed on the face of the earth and possibly into eternity. Make sure you catch us on our next program. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.
yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.